There's an old tradition in the church on Easter Sunday where we greet one another. And I will call out, he is risen, and you will call out, he is risen indeed. Now don't jump the gun on me. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Come on, First Alliance, he is risen. If you believe it, put your hands together. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. As you're seated, would you take that connection card that Pastor Chen mentioned to you a moment ago? It's not just a connection card this morning, but on the back of that card, we've got a couple of questions for you that we would like you to answer for us. It's our opportunity on Easter Sunday to just, while the room is full, to kind of ask you some questions, to kind of ask you to help us think forward and plan and prepare for the months to come. And so just a couple of questions to ask you to respond with. First of all, what are some topics that you'd like us as a church to address? We'd love to hear those. We're always interested in what's going on in your world and the things that you're interested in. And then also, you know, maybe help us from your perspective, what are some of the greatest barriers right now to knowing God? What are people saying to you? What are you hearing? What's going on in your community, your circle of influence, where people are expressing some barriers to knowing God? And then also on there, if there's some next steps, if you find yourself in a next step place of faith, and you can mark that there for us. But here's what we're going to ask. We're going to ask everybody to fill this out. I think we got this into the hands of every person today. We tried to. But we'd like everybody to fill that out, including our staff. Go ahead and fill that out. And if you would, just play along with me. Even if you don't want to fill it out, just pretend like you're filling it out. And you know, we'll just, it's an all skate, all right? So we're all going to participate today. But throughout the morning, you can fill that out. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. You know, didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? They've been working really, really hard on that. And you know, as I was thinking about Easter Sunday and what this day is all about, I kept coming back to this idea of victory. I kept coming back to this notion of winning a battle, of winning, conquering something in our lives. I kept coming back to this idea when I thought about Resurrection Sunday, when I thought about what does Easter really mean, I kept coming back to this concept, this thought about victory. And I was wondering, what's one thing that we could talk about on Easter Sunday that would maybe encourage us and challenge us and maybe redirect us, perhaps? Victory. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a theme that we've sung about either directly or indirectly in the songs that we sang this morning. In fact, there are a number of songs that declare and talk about Christ's victory over death through the resurrection. We sing about it, we read about it, and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this idea of victory just leaps off the pages. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, as Chen read for us this morning, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. That was pretty awesome. It's something to shout about. It's something to get excited about, to remember and to reflect that in Christ, God gives us victory over everything in our lives. That in Jesus, there is victory for tomorrow, yes, for eternity, but there's also victory for every single moment of our day, every day that we live. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're challenged with, wherever our life is pointed and directed, whatever we're walking through, there is this promise that in Christ, because of the resurrection, there is victory for you. There's an opportunity to overcome. There's an opportunity to win the moment, to win the day, to have victory in our spirit and in our heart and in our lives because of Jesus, because of this day, because of Easter Sunday, because of the resurrection. There's victory. Paul almost taunts this thing of death as he quotes the Old Testament. He's writing to this young church in Corinth, and he's trying to explain to them the power of the resurrection, and because of it, he almost taunts it, right? And he's like, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? Because if you really knew the power of the resurrection, the power of Christ in us and for us, if you really knew it, you would realize there is no power, there is no sting of death. So I was thinking this week, where do we see death, though? Paul kind of just throws this out. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And I just thought, where do we see death around us? Well, obviously, there's physical death, right? We're probably not going to escape that one. We don't know the hour, we don't know the time, but physical death is a reality for people. So that's the obvious one. But beyond that. And I would say this, if that's the only place we think death lives, we miss what God is trying to do for us. Because death also lives, turn of words, death also lives, the residue of death is also found in the broken relationships around us. We've seen that, haven't we? The residue of death and the broken relationships that are around us. Just as Adam's sin brought brokenness into the relationships between all of creation and God, so death is found in the brokenness of our relationships at times. Anybody here have a perfect family? Perfect family. Spot on, perfect family. How many of you guys are having Easter dinner today? If you didn't raise your hand, I don't know what you're doing for food, but okay. Point you out to some homes. You're having Easter, anybody having family over for Easter dinner? Anybody have to check that guest list twice before you put it out? Because you got that one that you're not sure about? You got that one that you're not sure you want to sit next to. You got that one that every time they show up, it's always, right? You can fill in the blank. I don't need to fill in your blank. Every time. And it's caused tension, and it's caused factions, and it's caused problems. Because there's brokenness in relationships. It's the residue of death. You know, sometimes the older I get, I think it's just easier to just sit at the kids' table, right? Just check the guest list and, yeah, I'm going to sit over here. Because things happen in families. Things happen that bring brokenness. How about a friend or a neighbor? How about a coworker that has it in for you? We see the residue of death in relationships all the time. We have physical death, and we have death through the brokenness of relationships, but But how about the words we say and words we speak to each other? Are we speaking words of life when we interact with other people? Are we lifting them up? Are we encouraging them? Are we helping to build life into them? Or are we speaking words of death? You know who sees this every day? Teachers. If you're a teacher in the public school, even the private schools, you see this every day. Every day you look at the face of the students who walk through your doors, and you can see in their countenance the students who come from families where life is spoken in their home. And where death is spoken. Where brokenness is spoken. Where words of hate and shame are spoken in their home. You see it. I could ask every one of our teachers here today and they would tell you that's absolutely true. In 5 seconds, they can tell if that kid had a good weekend or not. The residue of death rests in broken relationship. It rests in the words that we say to each other. And the residue of death resides in the communities and the connections that we've lost. We see how isolation and loneliness is skyrocketing as a problem in our community with the mental health of individuals, not just adults, but children and students. Isolation and loneliness is the residue of death being present in our communities and breaking down of our communities. Because where there's life, there's vibrant connections, right? Where there's life, there's vibrant interaction. There's a look in the eye, there's a conversation between people. There's an encouragement, words of life spoken in a community of people where we value each other and we get energized and we grow better because of the relationship with each other. Not isolated from community, but in community. And when we are in community, we are better for it when it's a healthy community, when it's a life-giving community. We grow. We flourish. We become better people. What's the old adage? Show me the character of your 5 closest friends and I'll show you what you're going to turn out to be like in the future. The communities that we live in, the connections, the circles of friendship that we keep. Sometimes have the residue of death and brokenness. But when there's life, man, it spurs us on. It keeps us going. It lifts us up. It's not hard when you stop and think about it to see the impact of death all around us. But that's what Christ went to the cross for on Friday. Christ went to the cross on Friday to deal with death. Dying in our place so that we would no longer have to live in the posture, the position, and under the power of death. That sin's power would be broken in us. That was what Friday was all about. He goes to the cross and deals with death so that we don't have to. So that we would have the opportunity to live with life. Real life. But here's the thing. It only works if there's a resurrection. It only works if we have Sunday. Friday, Christ hanging on a cross, dealing with death, dealing with sin, dealing with our brokenness, dealing with our emptiness, only works if there's today. Only works if there's resurrection. Only works if the tomb is empty. It only works if there's new life in Christ that has been given and applied and offered to us. And when we have that, and when we accept that, and when we take ownership of that new life, that Sunday life, we have victory. That's where we have victory over death. Friday, it was paid for. Sunday, we have the victory. Friday, it was dealt with. Sunday, we walk in the excitement and the energy of having new life again. Not having to be held back by death, or not having that death residue live on us, but being able to be washed by new life. That's what Sunday's about. That's what Easter's about. That's what the resurrection about. That's what the victory is. And the beauty of victory is when it's found in someone else's story. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said this in verse 3. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, Friday, that he was buried, Friday, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, Sunday." Verse 5. "And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, people who also believed, people who also followed him, 500 brothers. So Cephas, so the 12, so 500 other brothers and sisters at the same time. Are you doing the, who are my accountant people? You doing the math? 500 plus Cephas, 501 plus the 12, 530. Well, Cephas was one, so that's really 512. Well, Judas, not such a good story there. So we're 5'11". "Most of whom are still living." Verse 7, "Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me." It's like Paul was saying, look, I'm going to talk to you about the resurrection and the power of it, but here's what you got to get. I know what you're already thinking. Who's going to believe somebody was actually raised from the dead? Who believes that? Because the victory of the resurrection is something that we have to hold on to with faith. And Paul says, look, I know some of you aren't going to believe that, but here's what I want you to know. The beauty of the victory of the resurrection is when it's found in someone's story. And so I want you to know that I can count over 500 people who actually saw the resurrected Jesus. Personal testimony is a powerful thing. Over 500. So that's why I want you to know, this isn't just some thought. This isn't just some fairy tale. This isn't just some, well, you know, this makes up for a really nice story. No, no, no. This is real, and it's real because we have the power of victory in the story of other people. They've seen it. And did you notice what he wrote there? He appeared to five, at the time of the writing, more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, most of whom are still living. Why would he say they're still living? Because if you don't believe me, go ask them. They're right here. Ask, I know you're not there yet. I know you're probably wondering, and I know you're probably like, I'm not sure if that's a real, I'm just saying I understand the argument. But there are people who have seen the victory. Just go ask them. Let them tell you. their story. It's really, really hard to argue with someone's story. It's really, really hard to argue with people who have seen it, who have lived it, who have heard it, who have experienced it. And I would guess that some 2,000 years later, many of us have had people in our lives that have told us, right? I'm guessing that many of us have people in our lives that at some point said to us in one way or another, Jesus makes a difference. Jesus changes the game. Jesus changes lives. Jesus defeats death. I would venture to guess that we've had people tell us that. And yet we still struggle. We're still unsure. Paul is simply saying that the beauty of the victory is when it's found in the lives and the stories of other people. To be a witness, to be an encouragement, and to share that truth. The beauty of victory is also is that it works to make things right. It works to make things right. All this death that we talked about, the residue of death, our physical death, our broken relationships, the words that we say and have said to each other, the communities that we live in, the isolation that we feel, the beauty of the victory of the resurrection is that God is at work putting things back together to make things right again. Look at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. God is at work putting things right. From the moment Adam took a bite of the apple, God had set a plan in motion to make things right. When death entered humanity, when death entered our world, God immediately put into motion a plan to make things right. In verse 57, this is why Paul can say he gives us the victory. Written in the present tense. Did you see that? Written in the present tense. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God because he gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. It's written in the present tense with the idea of continuous action. This is something God continues to do. God, it wasn't he gave us victory. It's he gives us victory. Day after day after day, he gives us victory. God is working to put things right. God is working every single moment of every single day in our lives and in our worlds to make things right. Where does the residue of death live in our homes and in our hearts and in our lives? Where have we seen it? Where do we struggle to get away from it? What battle are we fighting to get away from the death that surrounds us in words and in relationships and in community? How are we trying to get away from it? This is what we need to know. Christ brings that victory. Day after day after day after day. Amen. It's not something that we have to wake up and wonder. Boy, I wonder if God will help me today. I know this day's going to be hard because of this person at work, because of this neighbor and their cat. It's going to be hard. I have this addiction that I'm trying to overcome, yet everywhere I turn, I am tempted by it. How can I have victory, Pastor? You're telling me there's victory. I don't see a way out. All I see is death. And I'm telling you, it's when we lean into Christ. Because God is giving us present tense, active, continuously. He gives us victory every single day. day, God is working to make things right. You know, a few minutes ago, I led us in that little, "He is risen." Thank you. I was just asking, just seeing. Here's the thing. Doesn't mean anything if there's no resurrection. It doesn't mean anything. Empty words, futile, powerless. At least Paul was honest with the church in Corinth, right? At least he was honest. He said, look, guys, if there's no resurrection, this whole thing, futile. I don't know what we're doing. If there's no resurrection, then there's no hope. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, if 500 plus people say that they saw him but were all liars or they're just making up stories and whatever, if that's really true, that it did not happen, I don't know. And 2,000 years later, the same thing is true. If it didn't happen, then there's no hope. Phoebe just cried out that it did. There's victory in her story. And if we asked around the room, more and more people would say, it did happen, it did happen. I've seen it. I've seen the power. I've seen him change my life. I've seen the residue of death in my life be wiped away by the power of Jesus and his resurrection. I've seen it. I might not be able to touch it or explain it, like how it all got inside. Like, I don't know. It's just the power of the Spirit doing a work in my life, regenerating my life. And it works. And here's what I think. I think we know that there has to be more in this world. I think we know that. Even if you're confused and critical about the resurrection and Easter Sunday, I bet if we sat down and had a cup of coffee, you would say there would be some moment in the conversation where you'd be like, you know what? I do think there's more to life than this. I'm just not sure what this is. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not there yet. I'm trying to figure it out. And we have people who have the beauty of the victory in their story. We have people who have the beauty of the victory of the ongoing changes in their lives. When we're in Christ, when we are in the resurrected Christ, not the Jesus on Friday, but the Jesus on Sunday. When we are in the resurrected Christ, we can proclaim, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Huh? How many of you guys want to live life that way? We know that we have to walk through a world where there's the residue of death all around us. But how many of us would rather, with Christ, walk through this world and go, hey, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? Right? Paul is almost like, come on, bring it on. I wouldn't, you know, watch that one. But it's like he's saying that. I am in Christ. I am in the resurrected Jesus, and there is power. What are you going to do to me? What death? What are you going to do to me? What can you do? You can beat my body. You can trample my name. You can kill this body, but you will never have victory over me. Victory is not the body. Victory is not my name. Victory is not my reputation. You will never have victory over me because I am found in Christ. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you know that death is trying to take your body right now. Some of you have seen the residue of death in your relationships as they break your family apart. You know what I'm talking about. Death through addiction has caused bankruptcy and fractured your family and even taken you to the brink of destruction. Death in our hopes has led to despair. Death in our futures have led us to question ourselves. Death in the words that people say to each other have destroyed our self-esteem, have destroyed our passion for something that we're really good at, has teared down our confidence. But when we are found in Christ, we go, yeah, I know that's going to happen. Bring it on. But you don't understand. Like, people are going to say things about you, okay? Because I don't live in death. I live in the resurrected Christ. But you don't understand. Your body's still going to break down. I know that. I don't live for this world. I don't live for this life. I live for an eternity connected to the God who created me. But you don't understand. Like, it's going to be difficult. I understand that. People are going to say things. I get that. The church has been pushed to the margins of our world. Then we shout from the margins. Where, O death, is your sting? Because on the third day, the tomb was empty. On the third day, you couldn't hold him down. On the third day, the angel sat there and said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And you have new life. Can I tell you the beauty of the resurrection is that victory has been won for you. This life is worth living. And it's a life that's found in following Jesus. Many of us are fighting battles every single day in our own strength and our own energy, trying to overcome, trying to push beyond, trying to get through, trying to get to the other side. Some of us go home at night and we just say, I'm just trying to get to tomorrow. Can I tell you that we're fighting a battle that he's already won? We're fighting a battle that he's already won. He's already taken care of it. He's already working to put life back together again. If we would just lean in to him. Jesus, help me. Help me believe that there is new life on this Easter Sunday. Help me believe that there is a power greater than the world around me that I can hold on to. And maybe I don't understand it all right now. That's fine. But I'm at least going to take a step towards it because there's got to be something bigger and better than what I see right now. I'm going to ask you to take this card back out. If everybody would take that card real quick. On the back of the card, there's the questions that we ask, but there's one last question I want to ask you, and it's answered by these four letters, A, B, C, D. I want to ask you this question and ask you to respond in one of four ways, because we all fit somewhere in those blocks. We all have an answer to one of those questions. The question is simply this: where do I find myself today? Maybe for you, you already believe in Jesus. You already understand his victory. You already understand what he's doing, and you're doing the best you can to walk in that. If you find yourself in a place where you already believe, just check that letter A. Check that letter A. But maybe today you're like, you know what? I'm ready to believe. I'm kind of tired of living with the residue of death on me. And so today, I'm ready to believe. Maybe for the first time. Or maybe for some of us, it's the first time in a long time. Maybe it's time to come home. If that represents you this morning, just check B. Simple little check. And for some of us, we would say, you know what? I'm not sure I understand this whole resurrection thing. I'm not sure I understand the whole church thing. I just need to consider this a little bit more. I need to take some time. And I want you to know that I want First Alliance Church to be a safe place where you can come and take your time to figure it out. Back in the fall, I said I would envision that First Alliance would be a church where we can believe and belong and a place for people to begin. Well, sometimes when you begin, you don't have all the answers. Sometimes when you begin, you're still trying to figure it out. Sometimes when you begin, you may be wearing the colors, but you're not really a fan yet. It's okay. We've got plenty of space to help you consider what's going on, to consider the claims of Christ, to consider what this victory might mean for you. And then letter D, simply this: I don't ever intend to make this decision. That's a pretty bold statement from the pastor on the platform, huh? Inviting you to make that comment. I don't ever intend. That's fine. I would just thank you for your honesty and your courage to say so. But we're going to pray for you anyway. And maybe one day you'll move from D to C, and maybe from C to B. And maybe one day there'll be a whole room filled with people who check A. The thing about the gospel is that it's an invitation. The thing about the victory is that it's an invitation. Jesus simply invites you to come, to put your faith into that power that defeats death, that's putting things right, that's celebrated in community with others. I see way too many people fight battles that Jesus has already won for them. I just want to invite you today to just stop fighting the battle and take hold of what Christ has done and rest and follow him. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, we celebrate. We get excited. We shout and we call and respond back to each other. Not in some kind of showmanship kind of way, but because we're excited to remember once again how great you are and how much you love us. We don't have to think too long. We don't have to think too long about what it's like to walk broken, to walk in death. We know that full well. But God, we need to be reminded that we have victory in Jesus because of the resurrection, because of today. We need to be reminded that Jesus is working in our hearts, working in our lives, not just a once and done and we'll see you on the other side of eternity, not like that at all, but every day that we wake up, you are giving us victory over victory over victory, that we would say Christ in us is the victory. We don't have to fight these battles alone. We don't have to fight these battles all by ourselves. In fact, we don't have to fight the battle at all. We simply rest in you, because you've already won. We rest in victory. And so, God, we thank you for that this morning. Help us to make that decision, to make it well, and to hold on to you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we close out our service?